What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show again. And it's hour number three. And joining us right now is Gilad Atzmon, brilliant musician, lecturer, author. And Gilad, thank you for spending time with us today.
Man, it is great to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
Well, if I could impose a little bit of a personal moment here, the lovely lady Claire wanted to sit in on the beginning of the interview because she actually wanted to say hi to you and share her respect of being a brother musician.
Gilad, aloha and shalom.
Yeah. How are you? So you're a great musician.
I am well. I've just finished another piece of music I'm happy about. But I just wanted to say how much I respect your abilities as both a brilliant musician and innovator, but also as someone who is firmly believing that peace is possible and trying to show the world the way that it's supposed to go. I'm going to let you and Mike talk now, but it's just such a blessing to have you with us.
Thank you so much for your kind work. We should play together before we get too old, you know?
You've got to come to Oahu.
When are you going to gig in Hawaii? We'll be there.
You know, I make sure that I make it happen. You know, it's too far, but I'll make sure. It almost happened a year ago, but I'll work on it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your words.
All right. We're going to turn Claire's microphone down here and getting on back to more serious things. There are so many things that we have to cover. First of all, your lecture tour, which I understand has been a tremendous success, even though there's been a lot of efforts to try and shut down venues. There's the music tour that's going on. There's your new book, Being in Time, which I haven't gotten quite to the end here, but it is just a tour de force of identity politics, the rise of Donald Trump.
I know it's been quite a while.
Okay, there was something else there for a second. And, of course, I want to talk about the Antifa attack on you as well. So, Gilad, just start at the beginning and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so, funny enough, I just came home. We had a book launch in London. You know, now it is 11 o'clock at night, p.m. It started 6:30, and it was amazing. It was a really tremendous success. The room was packed. It took place in a Palestinian restaurant. They kind of just reserved it for us. And what was amazing for me was to see so many different people. Because I am critical of identity politics and some aspects within left thinking, I start to see more and more right-wing intellectuals attending my talks, and obviously they have a lot of problems with my criticism of identity politics, because I also criticizing white identity politics. At the same time, I'm saying that if Jews can identify with their biology, with their Jewish mother, and black can do it, and lesbian can do it, and gays can do it, and transsexual can do it, obviously white people can also do it. I don't see why, don't understand the logic that or the ethics that supposed to prevent them from doing so. But in general, I'm against all form of identity politics. And what was shocking for me is that they really ask questions in the most polite manner, and they allow me to produce an answer, and they take it home, and they think about it. And it's an evolving discourse. It's something that I've never seen within left circuits, within the Palestinian solidarity discourse. And this is the reason, basically, that left has deteriorated into an echo chamber that is pretty much irrelevant to the world in which we are living and can hardly help us in amending the situation. It's quite tragic.
It does seem like they're living in a bit of a fantasy world these days. And
By the way, this is exactly the thing. What I argue in the new book, in Being in Time, is that the left is shaped like a dream. It is telling us what the world ought to be, and not as opposed to what the world is. And because it is concerned with what the world is ought to be, it is usually shaped like as I mentioned, like a dream. It is utopian. And then Donald Trump is coming along, and we realize that the real utopia is nostalgia. Donald Trump won because he said, I want to make America great again. Now, exactly the same thing is happening in Britain. In Britain, we have a very different kind of type of a politician, but we have Jeremy Corbyn, who is gaining a lot of popularity these days, and there is a chance that he will win the election without being his supporter, really. But he, again, delivered this nostalgic sense of a real old unionist lefty, something that is really disappeared from the world. It is all... We are living in a very interesting world at the moment. The problem that about the fantasy world is that if you are living in a dream and the left is a dream, you are really hostile to those who try to wake you up. You start to develop animosity towards the reality, because the reality in the real world, there is no revolution. We are just becoming more and more impoverished. And this is exactly the root cause of the animosity between the left and the working people, the left and reality, the left and the universe. And this is why the left really lost its relevance and was invaded by ludicrous ideas such as identity politics, political correctness, and so on and so on.
All right. Well, we need to take a moment here to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Our guest here for this hour is Gilad Otzman, musician, lecturer, author, and he's in London right now. It's 11 o'clock at night. He's stayed up late to be with us, and he's continuing his lecture series. Again, his book is called Being in Time. It's available online right now, and it is a very, very wonderful book that talks about a lot of different topics, the history of repression, how repressive governments come about, and it brings us through why Donald Trump was such a powerful presence in the election last year, and why this pre-planned ascendancy of Hillary came to such a terrible end. And a lot of it does tie up to the fact that the left really just sort of moved away from dealing with the world as it really is. They got caught up in these fantasies about this utopia they all wanted to be living in. And when people come up and say, well, what you're doing doesn't work, as Gilad was saying, you get a lot of animosity. They don't really want to have an actual debate. They just want to cling to their belief structure. And Claire and I saw this with a close friend that we have who was a Hillary supporter. And she's a liberal, and we never had an actual debate with her. I would present a fact, and she'd just come on out with a soundbite. And that was her entire conscience, soundbite after soundbite after soundbite, as articles of faith.
Yeah, it is very interesting that you are saying it, because if you understand that the left is structured like the night, like snoozing, like drifting away, and I try to wake you up, the you will start to shout out some sound bites. Leave me alone. I want to sleep. It's too late. Talk to me tomorrow. And this is exactly how the left operate. Because it is structured like a dream, in fact, the only way to analyze left failure or the left fantasy is to use psychoanalytical terminology. Because we are dealing with something that has the inherent tendency to become delusional and removed from the world. Now, it is quite embarrassing for me to say it. But I really hope that Corbyn will do very well in 2-3 days in the election year. But when you look at Corbyn, you realize that the guy didn't work a single day in his life. I mean, a proper job, not being a politician or a union or a trade union leader. I mean, a proper job, going to a factory, making music, producing something, being part of production, you know, and when I'm saying production, you know, doctors, nurses, they produce care, they produce something that is judged by the quality of the service that they provide or produce. This is something that is very, very problematic, and this is here, even in Britain, you know, we are talking about Corbyn, who is an old-style lefty, and when you look at the demography of the split of the vote, is very popular amongst people under 20, voters under 25 years old. Between 25 to 35, it starts to shift. And when it comes to 45 onwards, the Labour share of the vote is close to none. We are talking about 10%, which is really, really embarrassing. It means that adults really do not vote Labour. Now, when you look at the share of the votes, the way the vote splits between Tories and Labour within the working class, it is clear that the majority, I wouldn't say the vast majority, but the majority of working class people in this country vote Tories. And this is quite strange, because the Labour claims to work or to support the oppressed, so to say. And for some reason, the oppressed do not accept the Tories as the Labour as the representative, which is fascinating. It is fascinating to watch. The same you see in America. It was the blue-collar Americans who made Trump into a president. And again, because they share very little with those delusional progressives. And by the way, I may be wrong, and I'm probably not allowed to talk about America, because this is really not my domain. But I think that if you would analyze it from a philosophical perspective, there are some similarities between Corbyn and Bernie Sanders. And like Corbyn, Bernie Sanders also didn't have a proper job, a single day in his life. And I think that he was supported by a lot of people within the Democratic Party. But I tend to believe that, again, it wasn't the working class people. It was the something that is similar to your Guardian readers, New York Times reader, Washington Post, and so on and so on.
Okay. Well, one of the things here is that, as you say, the liberals tend to live in this bit of a dream world of how they think the world ought to be, and because they weren't really dealing with things that were really going wrong with the country, they didn't want to face up to that. I think that's why they wound up trying to campaign on issues like what bathrooms people were going to use, and this whole idea of gender confusion, because they if they're not willing to deal with the real problems of the country, then they had to just sort of manufacture something that they could claim to be an issue. And I think that's another reason why they did so poorly in the election, because most ordinary people were saying, I know what restroom I'm going to be using. This is just nonsense.
No, but this is exactly the issue. To start with, we both agree, and I assume that the vast majority of Americans and Brits would agree that the most important thing in a society are production. Mm-hmm. So you make sure that we are a manufacturing society, so most people have a reason to wake up in the morning. 2, education. 3, health. Production, education, and health. Now, when we were young, the left claimed to unite us all. They said, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or black or red or lesbian or gay or whatever. We are all united together to take care of education, production, health, to fight with the bad people in the city, the capitalists, or whatever you want to call it. What happened is that at a certain stage, the left gave up on this universal idea of uniting us all and adopted a new ideology, which is what you were just referring to, identity politics. It started to split us into marginal groups. We started to speak as a Jew, as a black, as a woman, as a Puerto Rican, as a lesbian, and so on and so on, rather than fighting all of us together for the most important things. We started to fight on different toilet settings, on gay marriage, on all these idiotic issues that have zero relevance to us as a society, as a collective. It made the left into a marginal system that leads nowhere. And to a certain extent, I really blame the left. It's basically the new left, it's not the old left, for the dystopia in which we live, not because it led us there, it just wasn't there to resist, to oppose, to perform proper dissent. Instead of fighting all of us together, we started to fight each other.
Well, you also need to look at the evolution of liberalism itself, because back in the 1960s, the liberal movement did constitute the intellectual elite of our society. But over time, individuals who wanted to be intellectually elite just said, well, I can call myself a liberal, and then everybody will assume I'm intellectually elite, but not all of them were. And worse, they became very insecure about those areas where they were not educated or did not have a good opinion. And so they overcompensated with a certain degree of arrogance and almost became arrogant in their ignorance on a lot of issues, like this friend of mine. So liberalism no longer represents the intellectual elite. There are intellectual elites on both sides. And so it sort of devolved into a personality cult where the issue is no longer whether they're uniting people or dividing people. The issue is preserving their image of being liberal elitists. And
now, this is exactly why I call the book Being in Time a Post-Political Manifesto, because there is no real division between left and right. It's a clubbing rather than ideology or a different perspective on truth. And in general, what I argue is that we, the people, have been reduced into mere consumers. While we are consumers, our politicians have one role. They are there to sustain consumption, and they are committed to big money rather than to us. So this is exactly the form of detachment that you were just describing. However, and this is, I think, very important, if I would have to summarize the Being in Time and my new project into three words or four or five words, it is all really about the difference between Athens and Jerusalem. Athens is the birthplace of philosophy. In Athens, we think things through. This is where science was born. This is where aesthetic was formulated. This is the birth of music, the birth of dialogue. Jerusalem, on the other end.
Gilad, yeah. I'm going to have to put you on hold here for a bit. Okay. We need 3 minutes for commercials. When we come on back, then I want you to continue with Jerusalem and its contrast with Athens. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins, and our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Gilad Ottesman, a world-class musician, lecturer, author. We're talking about his new book, Being in Time. We're also going to get into the Antifa attack on him. And before the commercial break, Gilad was going down on a contrast between Athens and Jerusalem, how Athens was the cradle of democracy, science, so much of art and culture came out of the Greeks. And you wanted to tell us about Jerusalem in contrast.
Jerusalem, on the contrary, is the birth of the birthplace of the revelation. Ten Commandments: do that, do that, don't do that, don't do that. And what is very, very troubling for me is to understand, by the way, it's not a division, it's not a dichotomy between the Jews and the Gentile, the Jews and the Goy. Unfortunately, Hillary Clinton is not a Jew, but she is a Jerusalemite. Tony Blair was a Jerusalemite. Theresa May is a Jerusalemite. And even Jeremy Corbyn is a Jerusalemite. And for me, the most concerning thing here is that the liberals, the progressives, those people who were supposed to be the good people, the people who move society forward, are actually Jerusalemite to the bone. they won't engage in an intellectual discussion with you because they know what is right and what is wrong. To a certain extent, the progressive, the liberal, is the secular form of chosenness. And this is why it is so attractive for emancipated or assimilated Jews, because it replaces chosenism. You know better. You know better. You know so much better that you really don't have to engage in an intellectual exchange. This is exactly why, once again, we come to the point that we are dealing with a delusional discourse that is inherently detached from reality, and this is why no one within Hillary Clinton campaign, for instance, could see that she was about to be wiped out in the election. They didn't even see the possibility.
Well, what you're talking about here, we have a term for it over here in the United States. It's called the true believer mindset. The idea that people truly believe that they know what's best. They don't need to answer any challenges. It's okay for them to be above the law. We see that mindset certainly in the abuses of the Church of Scientology, where their acolytes are willing to go on out and commit all kinds of crimes and abuse because in their heart of hearts they believe that somehow they're making planet Earth better overall. You see a lot of that in liberalism as well, where they can go on out and have these riots on college campuses and say, well, in the long run, this is for the betterment of planet Earth. And it really is more of a religion than it is a political philosophy. But true believers...
I totally agree with you. And this is exactly the symptom of Jerusalem. Now, if you look at America, at United States, I should say, really, the best thing that we associate with America, with the United States again, come from Athens. First Amendment. What are the two best things that happen in America? First Amendment and jazz. These are the embodiments of your free minds, free thinking. Even slavery and oppression turned into jazz, into the most creative, improvised form of music. Now, what is the opposite of freedom? Tyranny of correctness. You are not allowed to say that. You are not allowed to think. You are not allowed to express yourself. Tyranny of correctness, I define it many times as, political correctness, as politics that doesn't allow political opposition. Now, this is the definition of tyranny, but while in a case of tyranny, you oppose a government or a regime, or a tyrant, in the case of political correctness, it's self-suppression. It is you yourself, who silence your ability to think freely. And this is exactly how Jerusalem is structured.
Okay, Gilad, we got to take another 4-minute break for commercials, and we'll be right back about political correctness.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Gilad Otzman. We're talking about his new book, Being in Time, which is now available online. And we were talking about political correctness as a self-imposed system of controlling what you think and what you say. More than a few people have drawn parallels between political correctness and George Orwell's Newspeak in 1984. In terms of crafting a system of thinking and speaking where if there wasn't a word for an unapproved idea, you could not have the unapproved idea. Where political correctness really destroyed itself is that it so often conflicted with what people could see going on in the real world. And obviously between the real world and a political dogma, the real world is always going to prevail, although the liberals would disagree with that.
I obviously agree with you, and I dedicated quite a lot of writing in Being in Time to Orwell, because what is so astonishing about Orwell is that Orwell really wrote about political correctness in 1948, while we realized that something was, we started to realize that something was going wrong around the late 70s, 80s, and definitely 90s. And the next question is, how is it possible that Orwell managed to detect all of it in, you know, 30 years ahead of anyone else? Now, when we learned 1984 in school, they told us that it was basically a metaphorical take on a kind of a Stalinist regime in England. The thing is that this was very, very misleading, and this was kind of the Cold War take on 1984. 1984 is certainly written about England. It is set in England, and it is there to explore the deterioration of left into tyranny, because George Orwell believed, I argue, that these tyrannical aspects are embedded in left thinking. How did he come to this conclusion? I believe that his experience in 1936 in Spain, and the book, the beautiful book he wrote about it, Homage to Catalonia, is there to suggest that him fighting within the Yiddish-speaking international brigade made him a strong opponent of Jerusalem. George Orwell was a very was a staunch supporter of freedom of speech and liberties, and he could see that the left, the Stalinists and the Trotskyte around him, he was actually fighting within the Trotskyte, and there was a big battle there between the Trotskyte and Stalinists, are not exactly friends for the idea, to the idea of freedom of speech, human liberty, and it was there after the war when he realized that England or America, for the same reason, will deteriorate into tyranny of correctness.
Well, I would kind of like to move on here. And again, I encourage everybody to get the book Being in Time here. Apparently, you were actually physically attacked at one point on your recent lecture tour. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was supposed to speak last Tuesday. I was scheduled to speak in a radical bookshop in Edinburgh. I thought that it was a bit of. I looked at the bookshop and I saw that it's mainly an identitarian merchant that have very little to do with me. By the way, I'm happy to talk everywhere and to all people. My talks are always open to everybody, and I'm happy to be encountered by people who don't agree with me. At the moment, as I mentioned before, you know, there's some right wing actually come and to my talks and argue with me, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating for me, and I think that it is fascinating for them. However, the bookshop in Edinburgh cancelled the talk, and we moved the talk to a different place. But we didn't we didn't publish the new location for the obvious reasons. We didn't want them to go under. We wanted to save them the harassment.
Yes.
And what we did, we met at near the bookshop and redirected the audience to the new place. There were two kids, I think that they were in their early 20s, who came to the talk, and they were slightly confused. They didn't know anything about my work. I asked them, I wondered why did they come. They came with a kind of a strange story that the previous owner of the bookshop said that they should talk to me, and they probably didn't realize, but they were captured on a camera for 10 minutes talking to me. I pretty much explained to them my ideas, my ideology, where I come from, what I try to do, what I try to explore, what kind of questions I try to open. It was very friendly, and I wasn't suspicious at all. I've never been attacked for my views. I've noticed that people kind of, my detractors, start to call me a Nazi and fascist, and I never understood why, because, you know, there is no way. I never been associated or member of any party, definitely not the Nazi party. It's just all those titles or that are attributed to me have nothing to do with me. However, they offered me to help me with the gear, because I had quite a few books and I had my saxophone with me, and we had some camera gear. I wasn't suspicious. I let one of them carry my saxophone, which was probably a stupid thing to do. And as we were walking to the new venue, we were five or six people, because most people were already in the new venue. As we were marching to the new venue, suddenly two of them attacked me from behind. Apparently the third guy tried to get hold of our camera case, tried to take it from another guy who was actually friendly, was part of my, you know, I didn't know him, but he was a genuine follower of my work. I managed to get my saxophone back, and this was pretty much the end of the story. They ran away. I wasn't injured, really. If they tried to, I'm quite big, you know, and they were not really the right match. If they really want to hurt me, they will have to find some bigger guys.
Well, it looks to me like they wanted to take away your saxophone, so you couldn't play your music that night.
This is the thing. If this is what they want, if it is what they wanted to do, they could just run away with my saxophone. They wanted to attack me. They threw something on me. There was a substance on my coat. You know, I came to. It was a very bizarre attack. There are some things. Some people from the Antifa contacted me and said it's not the Antifa. The Antifa doesn't have an issue with me. I don't know. What I can say is that the police, the Scottish police, is taking it very seriously. Somebody put on my Facebook the police communication. They have the pictures of them, and they look into it, and we will find what it is. Maybe it was kind of again a false flag, you know. You know, they pretended to be Antifa, but they were not Antifa. I don't know. It's I cannot really say who they were, but I can clearly confirm that the police, the Scottish police, is taking it very, very seriously.
Are the police looking at whatever it was that was thrown on your coat? I mean, was it a powder or a liquid? That to me is something that I think really does need to be looked at to make sure that that they weren't trying to harm you with some kind of a chemical.
We we looked into it. We thought later that it may have been an egg, you know, but we don't know. He didn't have any kind of burn skin, you know, depending on or anything. As I said, and the first thing that I said, I really I didn't carry any injuries that I can report after this attack, and I made it clear to the police. It is not that I'm hurt or damaged. I managed to rescue my saxophone. The guy that was carrying the camera gear managed to resist them and kept to it. They didn't manage to cause any damage. I never kind of looked into this Antifa. I looked into some of their videos. They are quite a strange kind of guys. I didn't have the impression that they knew exactly what they were doing. They definitely didn't know why they were attacking me. They were not aware of my ideas. Very, very strange.
Well, I think much of these groups are basically being bought and paid for by non-governmental organizations. We know that George Soros pours a lot of money into these groups that go on out and commit acts like this. We're getting close to the end of the show here. So where are you going from here? Where are you speaking next? Where are you playing next? Can you share that with us?
Yes, I actually, next week I'm in Germany for 8 days. I will be in near Hamburg on the 10th, and then from the 13th to the 18th, I'm in Berlin at the Atrium. We will have also a book launch in the Atrium, I think, on the 15th. And I'm coming back, and we'll have a book launch in Oxford. It's quite a busy schedule. I think that most of it is on my schedule on my website, gila.co.uk. I made it very clear to my detractors that the more violent and aggressive they are with me, the more harmonious and peaceful will be my reaction. I think that it reflects very badly on them, and you know, I can defend myself, and I won't go the violent route which they try to impose on me. This is my way around things.
Well, that sounds really, really good. And in the time that we have remaining here, let's get on back to your book here, because you do talk an awful lot about how Trump just seemed to capture the imagination of the American people, how he was able to basically get around all the very obvious election fraud that was going on.
Yeah.
So what are your comments on that?
Yeah, I think that it is very interesting to see how Trump managed to reinstate the sense of political exchange and dynamic political transition by pointing at the fact that the past is way more exciting than dystopic future that was lined out by our so-called progressive. Now, the problem that we have with Trump is that the reality, you know, Trump the symbol, we used to say it about Obama, Trump the symbol is not exactly the same as Trump the president. Now he's a president, I think, for 4 months by now, and he faces some serious problems. And I must admit that if he really wants to get to achieve anything, he will have to do a serious cleanup. Whether he can do it or not, this is a very big question.
I agree.
I would love to believe that he can. It's not very, very easy. I think that what we see at the moment with Kushner being looked at by the FBI in regard to these Russian files, I think that this is already part of the cleanup. And if I'm right, it is a positive move.
I agree. I absolutely agree here. All right, well, we're coming up here on another commercial break. When we come back for the last segment of our program, we're going to have about 4 minutes, and Gilad, I'd like you to be thinking about what you'd like to share with our listeners as we try and move forward through these very, very chaotic times. So we're going to go ahead and take a 3-minute break for commercials, and we'll be back with Gilad Otzman in the end of our show after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay. pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today, we spent the last hour with Gilad Atzmon, world-class musician, author, lecturer, human rights activist. And Gilad, we've got about 4 minutes left in today's show. What would you like our listeners to be thinking about as we move forward in this time of chaos?
I think that if we agree that it is all about Athens versus Jerusalem, and we want Athens back, the one thing that we really want back is the ability to look at the truth, to be able to call a spade, to say no to Jerusalem Talmudism, to tyranny of correctness, to be able to say once again what we think, what we love to think, what we want to explore. The greatest thing about America is the First Amendment, and we want it once again to be precious, not just for us, but also to our oppressors. I think that this sums it, sums my ideas pretty well. How do you feel with it?
Well, no, I absolutely agree here. You know, I grew up at a time where it was okay to say what you thought and felt. And if you were wrong, other people were equally free to stand up and say, I think you made a mistake and you want to rethink that. Now, today, when you come up with something that is outside the accepted dogma, they simply say, well, you're politically incorrect, therefore you should just shut up. And it is a form of self-inflicted censorship, where you stop saying certain things, and after a while, you stop thinking certain things.
Exactly.
And it's cultural Marxism is what it is.
Exactly. We didn't speak about cultural Marxism. I speak a lot about it in the book. And then the question that we have to ask ourselves is how is it possible that George Soros, who calls himself, his institution that funds all those kind of organizations, the Open Society Institute, is actually the guy who funds all those oppressive measures that are there to suppress our ability to say what we think. In fact, George Soros and cultural Marxists are the arch enemies of the open society and the American true values of freedom of expression, and the First Amendment. This is how things stand.
What George Soros means by open society is he wants this one world government that's open internally, but it will be history's greatest tyranny, because it is being brought into existence through fraud, and they can never allow anybody to question the dogma. Anyway, there's the music.
I totally agree.
Okay, Gilad, thank you very much for spending time with us today. Good luck on your tour and with your music, and we'll have you back on the show at some point in the near future.
Yeah, and love to both of you and your listeners. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right, that's the end of our show. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know. We need to keep getting the real world out there in the face of all these liberals' daydreams. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app.
a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.